Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. The Reverend David Greenwald is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our text for today is from Luke chapter 17. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus says in our text today, temptations to sin are sure to come. Temptations to sin, you could say a stumbling block. Or in the Greek, you could say scandal. Scandals could come. Now we've heard the stories of scandals. We judge them rightly. The stories of brokenness erupting in the church. We've heard it on podcasts, perhaps, or you've seen it on Netflix documentaries. Familiar names and events in our recent past, and they're well documented. Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill. Bill Hybels of Willow Creek. Carl Lentz and Hillsong in New York City. The investigation into the Catholic Archdiocese of Boston that uncovered sexual abuse that extended well beyond Beantown. The list goes on. And it extends well past our living memory, these failings of the church writ large. And we've heard, if we've listened, the fallout of lives hurt, reputations shattered, the church tarnished, and even faith eroded. These little ones. And we wonder, we might wonder, if perhaps a millstone a little earlier on might have solved some of these problems. Amen? Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. But we also know stories, scandals, many of us, less publicized, that are much closer to home. The churches we love, the pastors we respected, the DCEs we trusted in our younger years, the teachers who formed our hearts for beauty, these moments where the sins of power and lust and greed and addiction seemed to cause God's church to fall like Jericho's walls. Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. And yet in our day, Jesus isn't speaking to fleshless abstractions of megachurch pastors or moments just of past pain. But through Luke, the words of our scandalous Savior are speaking now to the saints who are filling our pews, the saints who are next to us in our beds or down the hall, even to the holy ones of God who are wearing our clothing. Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. Woe, Jesus says. He says this word in other places in Luke, but only here is it directed specifically at the disciples. Not as elsewhere in Luke, to the religious establishment, to 2 unrepentant cities, to all humanity, or to Judas. But here, uniquely, it's for his chosen ones, the 12, the 72, and us. And Jesus is serious. Woe to the one whose behavior is a stumbling block, whose lifestyle, if we even knew about it, would be a scandal to other believers, to the little ones. Woe to the sources of sin who have hindered faith. Woe to the one that gets in the way of the scandalous kingdom. Woe to me. And woe to you. When you think maybe it was your fault. And maybe it was. Now Jesus goes on in our text for his disciples, for us. And he continues through three rather scandalous in and of themselves countercultural ways that this world of his breaks in through us. Ways that we live in line with his kingdom, that we are not stumbling blocks to other believers. He goes on and says that we are to live with forgiveness that is without limit or condition, as complete as the number seven. That we are to own and be proud of prayer and speech, be uprooted and planted in the sea. This prayer and speech that's born of a boldness that comes only in knowing the power of the resurrection undergirds creation like an underground river that waters the garden above it. And he says humility, that we are unworthy servants who have only done our duty. Humility that allows us in our families, our congregations, our church body to say without pause that you are more important than me. These three ways that are scandalous to the world that is built on vengeance, that is filled with tepid and cowardly faith, that is all about pride and self-promotion. But these things, they are not scandalous to the little ones, to one another. Jesus here in Luke 17 is saying that there is great, serious, eternal significance not only in our truth, but in our tongues. Not only in our doctrine, but in our deeds. And his words resound still with law and gospel 2,000 years later. The law of the urgency for the lives that we've been given to live, the example of faith that we set, but the only way to live in this is to drown, millstone or no, to daily drink deep, even to our deaths. The water of the font until our lungs are waterlogged, and the only life left for us to live is the one that's hidden in Christ with God. Our past, our present, our future failings notwithstanding, we are his, and then we live. We're reminded that the crucified one has exchanged the stain of all of our scandals, whether large or small, corporate or individual. He has taken from you the things that keep you up at night, wondering if it was you who caused your most loved ones to drift. He's removed all of it, and now would fill your baptized lungs with the breath he breathed on the apostles in that locked room. That air that comes from his first resurrected breath, that rise of his chest, the first time before his eyes opened and a new world was born, it is yours. And he would remind me and remind you that nothing, especially your failures, nothing will stand in the way of his pursuit of you. All of you, your lungs, your heart, and everything. And further, that nothing will stand in the way of his pursuit of the ones that you love most. As we heard just a few weeks ago, for the promises for you, for your children, Peter may very well have said for your grandchildren and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Both with and without you, Jesus is on the move with resurrection power, with scandalous love, so live. Live with courage in the ways of our scandalous Savior, but rest. Rest in his grace that is yours, knowing that his purposes of love and life, they will not be thwarted. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.